We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
John was the most incredible person I'd ever met. Aviation was John's love and passion. He was present as a Marine and present as a dad, as a husband. It was a normal, ordinary Wednesday for us. When I was picking up my daughter from daycare, my friend that I would carpool with mentioned that there was an aircraft that went down. In an instant, you know, your life does change. And you, especially having children, have to decide, how am I going to do this? I got a message from a friend, and they said, there's this foundation called Tunnel to Towers, and they said on TV that they're going to pay for your and John's mortgage. And it just felt like a frozen moment in time that I'd never forget. I'm so grateful for that.
By giving $11 a month, you're joining us on our mission to do good. Go to T2T.org. It only takes $11 a month to make a positive impact.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back at Los Alamitos Racecourse with two great weeks of racing. Opening day is Friday, December 6th. First post is 12:30 p.m. The meet will include the Starlet for Fillies on Saturday, December 7th, and the Los Alamitos Futurity on Saturday, December 14th, plus two other stakes events for juveniles. And our on-track handicapping contest is set for Saturday, December 14th. You could win a seat to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Our daytime Thoroughbred meet opens on December 6th.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday as we start another week covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style, horse racing, of course. But that's not the only horse competitions we'll have covering here from Las Vegas this week or for the next 2 weeks, as a matter of fact, because it is time here in Las Vegas for the National Finals Rodeo. And when that comes into town, everybody becomes just a little bit cowboy. And the go-round starts tonight in the downtown hoedown, they call it. And it'll start the start of the rodeo action here in Las Vegas. And that will go through, Saturday, December 14th. So it's going to be a long, long haul. And we love the cowboys here. They just make the town happen, man. It's packed and you got a lot of a lot of Wrangler jeans and a lot of cowboy hats, etc. So we're going to have a lot of fun with the Cowboys here at the National Finals Rodeo. But we are also covering, as you know, horse racing here. And we start another week of horse racing, covering the great action of the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style, from our studios here in Las Vegas, the South Point Studios and the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube at the South Point Hotel Casino on Las Vegas Boulevard here in the gaming capital. So we welcome you to the show. And, of course, all of the other platforms that we have, delivering the Race Day show to people throughout the world. That include, of course, locally here, our radio station, our anchor radio station here, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. That continues the play-by-play of the Los Angeles Rams and the NFL. And, of course, wrapping up the USC action, USC Trojans football action as well. We're getting into now the playoffs in the, you know, the conference playoffs. And then, of course, the 12 that will be going into the finals for that, for the college football championship, etc. The NFL is starting to get into the home stretch for the NFL on its way to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And, of course, we're counting down days until Christmas Day, etc., and the day after when, of course, Santa Anita starts. So a lot of great activities going on here in Las Vegas. We'll try to cover it all for you. And not only will we have the radio station here in Las Vegas, that in case you're running around town listening to us here, but we also have our other platforms, our for example, our website, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world. I got the streaming there as well. And, by the way, archives on our website. And, of course, we take care of your devices, your Google phones, your iPhones, your Androids with the apps. You go to your app store, you can get it. You can get the KSHP app, of course. We'll get you listening to us through the radio station. And the YouTube app, of course, you can see and hear us through the YouTube streaming network at YouTube. And if you're going to YouTube and if you're with us on YouTube, make sure that you hit subscribe and get started with the chatting. A lot of chatters going on, a lot of chatting going on our chat page each and every day during the show. And you can do that by just going to our show on YouTube and then hit subscribe. If you haven't subscribed already, it's free. Just subscribe and then you'll be jumping into the chat room and start chatting away with other handicappers and racing fans as well. And, of course, if you have those apps on your phones, you'll be okay. Like I say, your Google phone, your iPhone, your Android. We all got the apps there. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting, we're there as well. Especially, we're on Spotify, I understand, too. So that's good there. Anyhow, any way you get us, welcome to the Race Day Show for this Wednesday. Now, as I say, the National Finals Rodeo is here. It is the Super Bowl of rodeos. And they have 10 performances at Thomas & Mack. And that'll start on Thursday. And each performance, each night, there'll be performances, go-rounds, they call them. And then it'll go through Saturday, the 14th of December. It is, of course, the 40th running of this great event here. And all of the performances have been sold out. In fact, they got a run going of 359 consecutive sellouts in a row for the National Finals Rodeo. Some people think, and more likely, it's a harder ticket to get than the Super Bowl. In any case, there'll be $12.5 million of championship buckles distributed during the competition. And, of course, we got country western entertainers all along the strip. Everywhere you go, every lounge you go to, etc., it'll be nothing but great country western music, country western entertainers. 114 different country western acts have been booked here in Las Vegas over the NFR. And the Cowboys will be out there doing autograph sessions all over town. And, of course, the big retail cowboy Christmas event that's happening at the convention center. It opens tomorrow, the Cowboy Christmas there, so they do all their shopping. You can do all your shopping there as well. Cowboy Channel, they're doing broadcast right out of this studio. The Cowboy Channel will be doing broadcast out of the South Point Studios. And, of course, the rodeo competition will be on the big screen TVs and all of the race and sports books around town. And, of course, 34 resorts will have the feed into their complexes here in Las Vegas. So we're all turning. It's a big cowboy country here in Las Vegas for the next week and 2 weeks, really. 3 weekends, 2 weeks of cowboy competition. We love them. Great people. Good times. They have good times, that's for sure. All right, listen. This week we have openings. The Turfway Park opens today. The Turfway Park Racing opens today. You know, Churchill closed on Sunday. Los Alamitos and Oaklawn Park will also start on Friday of this week. So today will be Turfway, and then in a couple of days on Friday, Los Al and Oaklawn starts. As far as Turfway is concerned, they're going to feature a new feature this year at Turfway Park for this meet, the Turfway Park Synthetic Championship, they call it. It'll be four stakes races over the synthetic racetrack, the taffeta footing they got down there. And those four stakes races will encompass $1 million worth of purses. So Turfway Park has a new synthetic championship going on. As far as Oaklawn is concerned, got to tell you, they got horses from all over the place. Oaklawn, for example, has horses coming in at Oaklawn from Aqueduct and Del Mar, from the state of Arkansas, Delaware, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Minnesota, Ohio, Oklahoma itself, and West Virginia. So you got horses coming in from all over the place that are going to be racing at Oaklawn Park with those big stakes races and, of course, the big purses they got down there. That'll all open on Friday. My understanding is they have drawn already for the Friday card. We'll ask Jonathan Hardoon if he took a look at the Friday card there at Oaklawn. And, of course, Los Alamitos will start this coming weekend with a couple of nice races for the Futurity, of course, for the two-year-olds coming up. And also on Friday, as we say, Oaklawn, Los Al, and Turfway Park starts today. So those are the new ones. Wrapping up what happened over the weekend at the tracks that just closed, Del Mar had gains in handle and field size this year for this meet. The wagering totaled $165.10 million. The field sizes bulked up to 7.72 per race. That, of course, excludes the 2 days of the Breeders' Cup. Those Breeders' Cup stats were not in there. Juan Hernandez got his eighth. He had eight wins in the final week. He had five wins on Sunday to cap off and win the jockey title down there. He had 21 total wins for the jockey title down there. And he wins the jockey title at Del Mar with a big, big Sunday. Five wins on the card on Sunday. Trainer Mark Glatt got his first Del Mar title with 14 wins overall. His win percentage at Del Mar, 44% win percentage at Del Mar for the leading trainer, Mark Glatt. Congratulations to him. Augustin Stable had a big, big Del Mar meeting as far as the owners are concerned. They had five wins in big stakes races down there, Augustin Stable. But the stable that won the most money was Godolphin. Godolphin's earnings, their earnings title, $4.5 million. Of course, that included Breeders' Cup competition there at Del Mar. As far as Churchill Downs was concerned, the handle and the purses per race were a little bit down. They declined a little by 3.1% in handle and 5% in the purse values of the races at Churchill this year. But the handle was up compared to 2023. In addition, though, 20.7% handle raised at $171.9 million. Remember, it's 26 days this year compared, 26 days this year compared to 21 in 2023. For Churchill Downs. So it was kind of a mix on the Churchill Downs finals there. Let me see. Also, Kentucky Derby Futures book, that closed, the Parimutuel Future book. Now, the field, all others, was the favorite, closed at 9-5. But that big multi-million dollar purchase of Bob Baffert's that showed up at Churchill Downs and won, Barnes, he was the individual favorite in the Future book, closed at 13-1 there. New York Racing Association is going to have more days at Saratoga. They published their 2025 dates. There will be 200 racing days in New York and the New York Racing Association for 2025. 49 of those days will be at Saratoga. That's five more than last year when they expanded last year. But here's the deal. They're going to have a 4th of July racing festival there at Saratoga. And then they're going to take a couple of days off and then start the meet there again. Jonathan Hardoon, I think, will explain a little bit more about that. But they've got more days at Saratoga, and they will have a July 4th racing festival there at Saratoga this year. And as far as the big races coming up on this month, in the month of December, that are starting to have Kentucky Derby future book points to them. There have already been a couple raced at Churchill Downs, as you know. The Golden Rod and the Kentucky Jockey Club held 10 points in the Kentucky Derby future book points for next year. The rest of the races for two-year-olds this year that will have Kentucky Derby future book points for next year include the Remsen. That comes up on Saturday at Aqueduct. And on the 13th of December, the Remington Springboard Stakes will have Kentucky Derby future book points. And the day after, on the 14th of December, the Los Alamitos Futurity. The Los Al Futurity, of course, with Kentucky Derby future book points. And on the 21st of December, down at the fairgrounds, the Gunrunner Stakes will also produce some Kentucky Derby future book points. So we're already starting to look forward to the Kentucky Derby with some of those races for two-year-olds this year with the Derby points on the line. Finally, coming up this weekend, here's how it shakes out. Saturday, we have 13 stakes races coming our way. Four at Aqueduct is a big racing day, a big stakes racing day on Saturday at Aqueduct. Three stakes races, three grade twos, and one grade three. So out of the four stakes races, three of them are grade twos. That will include the Cigar Mile and the Remsen, which also, as we say, has 10 Kentucky Derby points attached to it. So that's on Saturday at Aqueduct. We'll have two stakes races at Tampa Bay, two at Laurel. Oakland Park will kick in with a stakes race. Los Alamitos will have a grade two stakes race on Saturday. Gulfstream, Pleasanton, and Woodbine will also have stakes races. Woodbine will have a grade three up for grabs. And on Sunday, we have just two stakes races on tap, one at Aqueduct and another one at Los Alamitos. So that's plenty of the news that we have to offer for you right now as we start our racing show today. Saluting the Cowboys and all of those long neck beers. So just getting started here. We'll go to our first break. When we come back, we'll give you a racing menu for today. And, of course, get to our handicappers. Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Rich Eng has a pick for us today at the Turfway. John Linda is going to check in from Southern California. And Jerry J has a thought or two about more betting strategies. And, of course, we'll be here doing it all for you from the South Point Studios here at the South Point. Get on the chat box and start chatting. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back at Los Alamitos Racecourse with two great weeks of racing. Opening day is Friday, December 6th. First post is 12:30 p.m. The meet will include the Starlet for Fillies on Saturday, December 7th, and the Los Alamitos Futurity on Saturday, December 14th, plus two other stakes events for juveniles. And our on-track handicapping contest is set for Saturday, December 14th. You could win a seat to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Our daytime Thoroughbred meet opens on December 6th.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday show. And taking a look at the temperatures around the country, well, it's 43 degrees right now, 43 out here in Las Vegas. We're going to get up to 68 degrees, which is pretty good for this time of the year. 68 degrees, 43 low, 68 high. That's just about the way it's going to be for the rest of the week here in Las Vegas. As far as the other parts of the country, Miami has 73, Tampa 68 with the racing there at Tampa today. New York 42, Chicago 39, man, that's sick cold. Phoenix, Arizona, 77 degrees, so it's okay, and 66 in L.A. As far as the, those are the far as the temperatures, but I can tell you this, they've been slammed up in the Northeast with a lot of snow. I mean, a lot of snow. There are parts in upstate New York, et cetera, that had 6 feet of snow. They're not done yet. There's still some snow in the area, that's for sure. And they expect maybe some a little bit more flurries coming through there in the next couple of days. All the precipitation is down in Texas and the Gulf Coast of Texas and parts of Louisiana. And as far as the rest of the country is concerned, pretty clear around the rest of the country, including northern and the northwest and throughout California. Temperatures are a little bit chilly throughout the nation, but as far as any precipitation, all that snow is up there right now in the Great Lakes area, et cetera, up there in the northeastern sector. And that looks like about it. As far as the weather concerns for racetracks, it should be pretty good for today's racing. Let's get to the racing menu for today. Reminding you, the first post times we broadcast each and every day on this racing menu segment reflects the start times, the first post times in the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas. We're in the Pacific time zone, and these will be the first post times that roll out in our race book today. So if you're listening in the Pacific time zone, no problem. If you're listening on any other time zone around the world, adjust from whatever time zone you're in and tweak it to the Pacific time zone, because that's the first post times that we will be broadcasting in the Pacific time zone. Don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here we go. Here's the menu for today. We begin with Parks Racing. Their Pick 5 Jackpot carryover, $39,572 today at Parks Racing, and their first post time is at 9:05 at Parks today. Then we go to Tampa Bay Downs. Tampa Bay Downs has a first post time today of 9:25 at Tampa Bay today. Following that, we go to Mahoning Valley, Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Their first post time is at 9:45 at Mahoning Valley today. Following that, we go to Zia Park. Zia Park has a first post time of 11:05 at Zia Park. And then comes Turf Paradise. Turf Paradise, first post time at Turf Paradise today is set at 11:45 at Turf Paradise today. By the way, Tampa Bay does have a small Pick 6 jackpot carryover of $6,817. That's at Tampa Bay. Turf Paradise's Pick 6 jackpot carryover is $8,417. And their first post time is 11:45. Following that, we have Delta Downs. Delta Downs' first post time is at 2:50 at Delta Downs. And then we go to Turfway Park, opening day at Turfway Park. Remember, they're racing on synthetic racetrack. Turfway Park's first post time is at 2:55 at Turfway Park today. That says Turfway Paradise, but it's actually Turfway Park. And the first post time is 2:55. Following that, next will come Penn National. Penn National has a Super High 5 jackpot carryover of $3,503. Their first post time is set at 3:15 at Penn National. Charlestown will follow. Charlestown's first post time is at 4 p.m. at Charlestown. They got a nice Pick 6 jackpot carryover there today at Charlestown of $89,982. Again, first post time, 4 p.m. And we wrap it up with Remington Park. Remington, first post time is at 4:30 at Remington Park today. And that is your Wednesday race day menu for today, race day. Anyhow, before we get to Jonathan Ardoon, I want to take a look at what happened Sunday at Churchill Downs and the Del Mar and, of course, Aqueduct. Churchill Downs was closing day, as you know. Steve Asmussen won the first race with Tyler Gaffleone at $4.76, came back in the fourth race with his son Eric Asmussen on Booth That horse paid $4.46. And so Steve Asmussen had three wins overall on the day. He came back in the fifth race, again with his son, Eric. So he and Eric had got a pair of victories back-to-back. That was the fifth race winner. That horse paid $41.08. Mike Maker came with a couple of winners. He won the third race at $7.08 with Ramon Vasquez, and came back in the sixth race with Luis Hayes paying $6.84. Bill Mott had a big day as well. Bill Mott had three wins. His first win came in the seventh race with Junior Alvarado paying $3 even. They came back in the eighth race, this with Tyler Gaffleone paying $4.60. And then he wrapped it up in the featured Cherokee Mile. Closing day feature there was Scotland. Scotland got the job done. Junior Alvarado and Bill Mott had a pair of wins together. Bill Mott's third win of the day in that stakes race, $12.92, outrunning Injunction and Quality Chic, who finished third in that race. And the pick six with the mandatory payoff, pick six paid a Churchill $7,489.54 on a mandatory payoff at Churchill Downs on Sunday. Del Mar, ditto, mandatory payoffs there at Del Mar. And as I say, Juan Hernandez had a big, big closing day. Peter Miller won the first race with Juan, paying $5.60. Hernandez came back in the second race with Leonard Powell's trainee, paying $3.40. In the featured Stormy Liberal, one of the three stakes races on the day, that was the third race. Unconquerable Keen won it for Umberto Rispoli and Phil D'Amato on the turf at 5 furlongs, $13.60 there, outrunning Sorrento Sky and Boss Sully. Hernandez came back in the fourth race for Peter, with a Peter Urton trainee, and that was his third winner of the day. Three out of the first four paying $3 even. And then we went to the Cecil B. DeMille Stakes. That was the fifth on the card. Clock Tower wins. John Velasquez in from the East Coast. One for Wesley Ward paying $3.80, outrunning Scipio and Origami, who finished third. And then we went to the Matriarch. That was the seventh race on the card. Sacred Wisp wins that for George trainer George Weaver from the East Coast. John Hernandez won that as well. And so he won both stakes races there. $27.60 was the win there, outrunning Gina Romantica, the big favorite in the race, and A.G. Bullitt, who was the early pace setter there. So Velasquez won both the Cecil B. DeMille and the Matriarch at Del Mar on closing day. Juan Hernandez came back with his fourth winner in the eighth race with Fort Bragg for Bob Baffert, paying $4.20, giving him his fifth riding title at Del Mar with that victory, a shutout victory there. By the way, Hernandez wrapped it up in the ninth race with his fifth win on the day for Peter Urton, Peter Urton's second win on the card. And that horse paid $6.40. I want to thank both Jerry Jackowitz for a reverse win play in the seventh race with Sacred Wish and Gina Romantica. The reverse exacta paid $49.90, and the reverse trifecta for 50 cents paid $87.45. Jerry's Key Horse ran second. And we want to thank Rich Eng for that winner in the last race. That winner paid $6.40. That was at Del Mar on closing day Sunday. And at Aqueduct on Sunday, Dylan Davis had a couple of winners, first and second race winners there, for paying $7.60 and $3.10. Jonathan Ardoon came with a winner for us in the third race, Beerly Funny with Kendrick Carmouche at $4.70, back down from 7-2 for Linda Rice. Jose Lascano got his first win of two wins on the day in the fourth race at $3.60. And then Lascano came back for trainer Richard Dutrow Jr. in the sixth race, paying $7.10. Dylan Davis got his third win of the day in the seventh race for Ray Handel, paying $5 even. Came back in the eighth race and got his fourth win of the day for Todd Pletcher, paying $4.90. Some of the winners at Aqueduct. So our handicappers gave us some winners at Sunday around the country. Let's go to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan? Good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Now, I gave the results of Sunday's races that we had on the show, etc. But there was a result yesterday at Parks Racing that has raised a lot of eyebrows, and you got to see the replay of this. The horse that won the race, National Law, paid $4.20. He was one of the favorites ridden by Paco Lopez. And he had the lead at the top of the stretch. And as he raced through the stretch, he went further and further and further out to the track. And Lopez started trying to coax him, and then he started hitting him with the whip to keep try to keep him in. When he hit the finish line, he was closer to the winner's circle than he was to the inside railing. I mean, he was all the way on the outside, practically running off the course. And so, Paco Lopez, and this is at full speed. And Paco Lopez was, hitting him quite vigorously, right-handed, trying to get him to straighten out. And so he got a lot of backlash from Heise and other people who watched it, saying that he was not kind, I guess, to the horse. But
the problem was, Ralph, when they crossed the finish line, he then popped him, he hit him. And that was a mistake he made. Listen, anyone that's been on a horse, and you were telling me stories that plenty of times at dinner when you used to work horses at Hollywood Park. First of all, it was a two-year-old. Second of all, he bore out the entire stretch. So unless you're on one of these horses headed to the other rail at full speed, you don't really understand what he went through. I'm not condoning what he did. What he did after the race was wrong. There's no question about it. But unless you're in that situation, it's easy to talk. Let's put it that way. Already Mike Rapoli took him off a horse that he was supposed to ride on Saturday. So here comes all the pile on. Here comes all the backlash. He doesn't have the greatest reputation. People think he's a dirty rider or whatever. He got into a fist fight.
That had nothing to do with race riding.
No, not at all. I'm just pointing it out. That's why it's easy to pile on a guy that people don't like, so to say.
Yeah.
He had a fist fight one day with Irad Ortiz. I get it all. But what he did, I'm not making a call on it one way or the other. I understand where he was coming from. He was frustrated, and he took it out on the horse. And the problem is, in this day and age, when there's cameras and drones and everything's on film, you can't do anything, and you should be a little smarter than he was. He did not handle the situation smartly. But, again, unless you're in that situation, who knows how you're going to react. And the reaction was bad. There's no question about it.
Let me give you a few thoughts here. One, you're talking about the reaction that was negative for him after the horse finished the finish line and he cracked him. I think he hit him on the side of the face.
Okay, right.
That was it. During the course of the race, as the horse kept bearing out and out and out, he was using his whip to try to get the horse to move in again. Now, that, by Heise's standards, is legal. If you're trying to correct a horse from doing something, it is legal to do that. So by Heise's standards even, that was legal, okay? And I can understand him being angry after the race, not to mention a little bit on the, oh, my God, where am I going to land thinking in the back of his mind.
Exactly. By the way, Ralph, one last thing. The trainer gave him no blame. The trainer took his side after the race. I'm just saying, not that who's right and who's wrong here, but the trainer did not flip out on him, didn't fire him, anything like that. The trainer understood what was going on.
All right, and another thought is the fact that I'm sure that when he went to the receiving, he won the race, and when he went to the receiving, and by the way, the people who bet him down to even money, or 6-5, were kind of happy that he can get him to the finish line in front. But in any case, when he got back to the receiving barn, as the winners all do for their test and all that, that's the time when you have to examine the horse to see if there's any welts on him or anything. That would be something that you would have to, I don't know if you would fine him for, but, it would have to be responsible for. But like you said, in another lifetime when I was a youngster, full of you-know-what and vinegar, I galloped horses. And there was a two-year-old that came to our barn that was out of the Pie King. So any horse that came out of the Pie King were very large. This horse was much bigger as a two-year-old than he mentally was mature. And Hollywood Park is a mile track. We got him out on the Hollywood Park racetrack, and he was so huge that I couldn't even tie my knot at the end of the reins because we didn't have enough room. So I just started galloping along, and it was like being in a rocking chair when you're that he's about big, he's taking big strides. But as we were getting close to the far turn, he wasn't changing leads or you know, getting them to go. Long story short, I had his head totally bowed like this by the time we hit the outside railing. Okay, we hit the outside railing, and I was catapulted into all of the shrubbery and the bushes that they had surrounding the outer part of the mile track at Hollywood Park. Needless to say, I had scratches and scars and all that stuff there. So I know that feeling, and it's a feeling of almost no control anymore. And
it's a helpless feeling.
It is, and it's a very dangerous thing. Good thing for me that the horse didn't fall, you know, hit and bounced off, and I just went off instead of him catapulting off and falling.
Well, going through the rail.
Right.
Right.
So I do understand that, and I think that the final opinion of this and the final assessment of this should be, as long as the horse didn't, you know, get any welts or anything, it's impossible to do with these new whips anyhow, that, you know, they should understand that what he did after the finish line was not right, understandably, but I am sure he was very much angered and to a point, not scared,
frustrated.
Not
yeah,
scared,
it was like
but it was very concerned. So, you got to take a look at that replay, because when I was watching, I'm going,
it's all over the place. By the way, Ralph, he had every right to pull up the horse and not finish the race, but he rode that horse through. He was even money. So
yep.
Not that it matters if he was 100-1 or even money, but
yeah,
he could have
stayed in competition.
Right. He could have eased up the horse, and nobody would have had the right to say anything. He was headed for the outer rail. What was he supposed to do?
Yeah.
So,
again,
it's a tough call, you know, and people that want to pile on, they're going to pile on. And, you know, this is great ammo for the PETA people and all the people that hate the game, that don't understand the game. So
they got more ammo. Well, you know, I got to tell you, in another vein to look at it is, if he didn't do that and the horse hit the outer railing and broke a leg or something, then what are you going to say?
Right.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. There's no fair answer.
There's no cut dried answer here, and so we'll leave it at the discretion of the people who are making their opinions. In any case,
we agree.
I thought that I'd save that for your soapbox anyhow. But in any case, you have no sheets today because no tracks that you're covering right now are. You did tell me that we know that you cover Tampa Bay, but you usually wait at least a month into the meet before you start using Tampa Bay?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. I like to see how they're doing. Yeah, your horse is there. The same thing's going to be with Oakland, but Oakland we're going to put out a sheep because I've had a lot of requests for it. I just tell everybody, proceed with caution the first couple of weeks. Horses usually need a work or a race over that track. It's not like other tracks.
Now, you're talking about Oaklawn Park, correct?
Yes, sir.
And
same thing with Tampa, but not as bad as Oakland. So.
All right, and Oakland, you already did the Friday card. The horse is coming in from everywhere. How's the card look? I won't ask you for a pick, obviously. We'll wait till Friday.
No, I don't have a pick yet, but I looked at my first preliminary run, and it's difficult races. You have, like you said, you have horses coming from Remington, from Churchill, from everywhere. From everywhere in the world, you have horses shipping in full fields, you know, so good betting opportunities. If you remember last year, after pick fives were paying off the wall, crazy prices.
Yeah.
You get lucky, you hit one. The same thing with Turfway, by the way. That opens tonight. It's a synthetic track to PETA.
Yeah.
So
all I could say is, if you connect the dots at either one of those two tracks, you're going to be very happy for Christmas.
You'll be well rewarded.
And beyond. Anyhow, thanks a lot for joining us today, Jonathan. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll get into start getting picks tomorrow.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe. And we'll also go over the new Saratoga dates, which we'll
all
talk
right
about.
And the Cigar Mile and the Remsen. Cigar Mile, Remsen, and the Saratoga dates for tomorrow. How about that?
Perfect. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right. You got it, my man. And, of course, when he has his selections are at his website. All right. We're going to go come right back. And when we come back, Rich Eng is standing by. I know he has a pick today at Turfway because he used to be the publicity director quite a few years ago at Turfway Park. He knows it well. We'll be right back.
Total Lance Stowers helps so many people. As a player of the Mets, I feel like for me, I have a responsibility to give back, especially to a cause that's authentically New York. And I just want to show appreciation for those brave men and women who really do a massive service, not just in New York, but everywhere. Hey, I'm Pete Alonso. Let's go Mets, and let's help the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Go to T2T.org for more information about how your donation can make a difference.
Thank you, buddy. There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting T2T.org.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place. Come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse, where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Now we're going to go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Cowboys are in town, buddy.
Yeah, you know, I've been in town for 25 years, and it's really neat to see them come in every December around Christmas time. And you go to any of the casinos, even on the Strip, South Point, so forth and so on. You'll see the cowboys and the cowgirls and the little cow kids all dressed up in their garb. It's really phenomenal. And Ralph, I tell you what, you know, you don't have to worry about anybody doing anything wrong. These are truly honest Americans, and they are very well behaved. And I tell you what, if you ever get in a bar fight, these are the kind of guys you want behind you.
Well, all I can say is there ain't that many bar fights. Everybody here is just having a good time and celebrating. That's the fact. Americana to the 10th power. The Cowboys are in town for the National Finals Rodeo, and the entire town gets behind it. Everything from the performers and all the strips and the lounges, etc. It just is amazing, that's for sure. All right, Richie, Turfway Park opens today. We spent some time together there.
Yeah, Turfway used to be Latonia, and I started there when the new owners came in and renamed it Turfway Park. And it's been a pretty interesting success story in Kentucky, because Latonia, you know, quite frankly, had lower purses. They did have one of the early derby preps in the state of Kentucky, but the quality of racing, especially in the last few years, Ralph, now we're getting money from historical racing, huge purses in the wintertime in Florence, Kentucky.
Yeah, and it really has, since Churchill Downs made a part of its family of racetracks, etc., it really has grown, that's for sure. I believe that you have a pick for us today at Turfway.
Yeah, we're going to take a shot at it. Can't have opening day at Turfway without putting a toe in the water. Mm-hmm. Let's try for a price play in race number 7 at Turfway Park.
Alrighty.
It is a mile and a quarter on the tapeta surface. They have no grass racing, of course. Mm-hmm. It's only the tapeta, but it's an interesting surface that's held up very well the last few years. The purse, $80,000, Ralph, for maiden specials. But I'm going to go for a trainer jockey combination that, quite frankly, cashed a few tickets out at Del Mar mm-hmm. when the Jonathan Thomas shipped some horses out. It's the number 5, Freedom Maker, and that jockey Vincent Chaminade, who was very impressive in his limited duty at Del Mar. I mean, this is a good rider.
And for that trainer, too. That's a good combination.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He loves to use them. I don't know if he's the number one stable rider, but he uses them a lot. This horse making debut on the tapeta surface has had 3 grass races. The 1-2 back at Keeneland was the one that perked my interest, Ralph. Mm-hmm. We're finishing a close-up 5th, only beating 3 lengths at Keeneland. But I think this horse can transfer over. At 10-1, I'm willing to give it a shot. The 5, Freedom Maker in the 7th.
All right, 7th race, the 5, Freedom Maker. 10-1 on the morning line, that's what I want to hear. In the 7th race today, opening day at Turfway Park, number 5 is Rich Eng's selection. And Richie, I know that you've been doing overtime now that we're getting the nitty-gritty for both college football and the NFL. We got a lot of conference championships coming up this week, starting on Friday with the college football. The one that we're all going to be anxious to watch and see is, of course, the Mountain West Championship game, which will be played at Boise, and Boise State is going to host UNLV. If our UNLV football team wins that, we're in the college football championship round, aren't we? The playoff.
I believe that is that's going to happen if UNLV can upset Boise State. It's going to be a hard game, though. It's going to be at Boise. Mm-hmm. The line opened up, I think, like 6, and it's now down to 4. But these conference championships are going to be the final litmus test for setting up the final 12. And, I can't wait. That would be phenomenal if we get UNLV to sneak in.
We'll have you here on Friday to talk about it, that's for sure, and all the other conference champs. Big Saturday, too, as well. This is a fun time of year. And, get your cowboy hat and your boots ready, my man, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know how many Chinese cowboys there are, Ralph, but I'm supporting
him. You got it, my man. Thanks a lot. All right, we're going to go right now. We're going to go right directly to John Lindo. He's in Southern California right now. John, we always enjoy you being in studios. And, of course, you were in studio over the weekend with us here back in Southern California. And I would imagine you're getting ready for the Los Alamitos meet that starts on Friday. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ralph. They drew yesterday for opening day Friday, so we'll get busy with that. They're drawing today for Saturday's card, which will include the Los Alamitos Starlet. So that'll be an important 2-year-old race, and we'll see who Bob Baffert puts in there.
All I can say is I know that you enjoy being in Las Vegas when the Cowboys are here as well, so maybe we can get you back here before the rodeo is over.
I love it. It was great to see everybody. The cowboy hats and Wrangler jeans are flowing out there, and it's a good vibe, and those guys have a good time, and they're nice.
Yep, and so are the long neck beers, by the way. That's for sure. Hey, looking back at Del Mar and the recap there, a big closing day for Juan Hernandez.
Boy, he capped it off with 5 wins on Sunday to make sure he put a stamp on that jockey title. And you know, the average field sizes went up a little bit from the year before, which is a good sign. And the racing office there does a terrific job. And, now we have a little gap between the turf racing between now and Santa Anita. So all those grass horses will get a little break and they'll come out ready to go. And I would assume that first week at Santa Anita, we'll see a lot of turf as we get going out there. And, that first week at Santa Anita after Christmas, a lot of important races, including the Malibu and La Brea, grade ones for 3-year-olds.
Yeah, no question about that. And I understand that Kenny McPeak, I understand he's going to bring out the Derby winner, Mystic Dan, for that race, the Malibu?
I haven't heard for sure yet. I think it's a possibility. So we'll see as they get closer to that. But it's on the radar. And, again, you're looking, if you're looking for a wide-open 3-year-old championship, you can get another grade one win under your belt there before the end of the year. It's a possibility.
And before, of course, the Strategic Eclipse Award votes, when you get the packet, as I do, and I'm fortunate to be one of the voters, they tell you to wait until after opening day at Santa Anita to make your votes for the Eclipse Award, because those races are at times pivotal. And so we will wait for that. And we will wait, of course, for your Linda reports. What's the schedule this week?
Tomorrow we will have Gulfstream Park. We'll do the full card there. Friday we'll do the opening day at Los Alamitos. We'll do that as well Saturday and Sunday. And I'll take a look at the other Saturday cards. I know there's a big Cigar Mile card at Aqueduct. I want to look at the weather there in Oaklawn Park and choose the place that will have the least interruptions and try and do some extra work.
You got it, my man. Thanks a lot. We enjoyed you here in studio. Always welcome. You know that. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Be back soon, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by, who has, I'm sure, some words of wisdom for betting. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Well, first of all, I just want to say those Raiders, they played really classy, and they should have won. Really a shame that they lost to the Chiefs. Betting, you know, betting is about finding really good opportunities and where you can judge the value a little bit to your favor. You know, you got a 2-to-1 shot and you're getting 5-to-2 or 3-to-1. That's a value proposition. Even if you have a horse that's 3-to-2 and you're getting 2-to-1 on, that's a big value proposition.
Let me ask you.
Most of our real value should come from 4-to-1s, 5-to-1s, 10-to-1s.
Let me ask you this, Jerry. I know that the value is very important in wagering in any aspect, in any vein, whether you're doing sports or horses. But the first step is to look at the race and say, okay, I think this horse has the best chance of winning. I like this horse for whatever reasons. And then look at the odds, or have the odds kind of dictate to you how you handicap the race overall?
No, first you handicap the race and you create a mental picture of what you think the right value is. This horse will win him one times, so he's a 9-to-1 shot. This horse looks to me like he could win two out of three times. He's a 2-to-1 shot. You go through this process, part of your handicapping process, and you actually have to create a value in your mind, and then look at the odds board to see what it is.
So you look, you create,
and then you have one other thing you have to do. It's like you have to look at horses that you valued maybe at 4-to-1 that are all of a sudden 2-to-1 or 3-to-2, and you have to reassess, because inside money is a factor in the game, and it's a little smarter than you want it to be. It's not smart enough to follow, but it's smart enough to mess up your plays.
So, in other words, let handicap the horses first, put a value on after you handicap what horse you think might, you like to win the most, put a value on him, and then go to the odds board and adjust from there.
Yeah, that's correct. So, say you see a power page horse that's, you know, maybe the top horse is 70, and then you see a horse that's a 63, and you say, oh, he's got no shot, and he's 2-to-1 with 5 minutes to go, you go, you could have an argument. Is Jerry wrong or right? You could look at the form, or you could, you know, then you kind of get a real sense of Jerry rates him down. He's got some back court races, but his current races are bad. Mm-hmm. Maybe the insiders, you know, there's a layoff or something. Maybe the insiders like you bring that to your play. But you never key that horse. That horse is just brought into the exotic to make sure that your key horse, which is your value horse, runs first or second. You have the right hookups to make a nice score.
All right. So that's a good food for thought.
At least that's how I use horses that are showing money on the board.
Yeah, because there have been, with the new aspect of the computer guys jumping in there, there have been certain variations and discrepancies in morning lines, and the actual betting that's going on in the race. And that's predicated by more of a computer-generated bets than it is handicappers, isn't it?
Right. Well, you know, it's both. You know, sometimes I used to know people who would own horses, and they would open them up at 4 to 5. They would go and put $7,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 at the opening bell.
just to get him
trying to force people not to bet him. People say, oh, he's 4-5, I don't want any part of him, and then the horse would drift up to 6-5 or 7-5.
Yeah.
And they would feel that that was a good way to create value for themselves.
Okay.
I would never follow that kind of money, but I would use that kind of money in my play.
All right. Last word from Jerry Jackowitz as we leave. Go ahead and say it, Jerry.
Have a great race day, everybody.